What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yes.
Coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content. Today, we got a real doozy for you.
Oh, yeah. We're getting real medical with it today.
It's Wednesday, which means what could have been Wednesday. We do it every single week, where we talk about who and what could have been if things turned out a little bit differently. Today, we're going to be talking a little Zubats mystery. What could have been? Anyways, we're going to kick things off with just we're going to talk a little bit about recovery and sort of Paul George's timeline. I'll touch a little bit on why I've been so conservative with how late I think he's coming back.
For sure. People want to know why you've been so conservative about this.
I mean, people are always like, dog, why are you so conservative about the timetables? And then we're going to wrap things up with just some shavings, some loose ends. We'll see what happens. So let's do it.
We gotta acknowledge one elephant in the room, I guess. It is.
Is it my shorts?
It is not your shorts.
I'm wearing shorts to work now. I've given up.
The news is that we were supposed to be have acquired Andre Iguodala yesterday. The word is now, according to LA Clipcast, September. So anytime in September, that gives us a nice 27-day window to expect Iguodala. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I still have nothing to report on this. I don't have anything concrete or definite from something that I could say was credible enough to share on the podcast to put myself on the line. So, yeah, I don't know anything about this. Unless a buyout happens, which seems less and less likely as the days roll on.
He can be traded on the 5th, but who knows? When it happens, we'll report it?
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see.
So that's where we stand on the issue. Let's get into this Paul George recovery stuff. There was a Reddit user, U Tower of Rocks, who posted this pretty good Reddit name, who posted this on the LA Clippers subreddit, which is a fairly active subreddit. It's a good time. About the return to play timeline, where they talked to Dr. Maggie Bryant, who is the director of teams rehab.
Best Bryant in basketball.
Absolutely. Keeping us healthy. So they kind of define what return to play is, which, you know, is kind of nice. It's just the player must be able to compete in games consistently and ideally at their previous level of performance.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
No risk of re-injury.
Like without sustaining another injury.
Yeah. They've shown that in injuries that have had repaired tissue, just like Paul George has had to have.
Yes.
It is the weakest in the first 6 weeks or so right after the surgery.
Yep.
But the weird thing is that same time window is critical for restoring the range of motion and beginning to regain that strength.
Yeah. That totally checks for me because, you're like essentially, I mean, to put it like bluntly, this isn't actually what's happening, but like you're sewing these pieces together. So it's going to be somewhat shorter.
For sure. It's like welding. Welding technically makes the two pieces of metal weaker.
Yeah, for sure. And then you're hoping that it's going to be able to just return to the same like level of mobility and flexibility that it was before. So I was unaware of some of this stuff. Like they talk about, this article is really good. It talks about personal, like blood flow restriction therapy.
This was crazy. This was really cool.
And so essentially they're cutting off a bunch of the venous blood flow to an area, as much as 80% for leg injuries, for injuries in the lower leg. And so essentially what this does is it's like you enter like an oxygen deprived state. Well, that part of your body does specifically.
Yeah, not your whole body.
So even at like a low intensity, it's simulates like what that exercise would be like under the load that you would have previously carried. So it seems like it's like you're doing something crazy, but you know, you're lifting fibers.
Yeah, you're literally just like trying to get your shoulder to move again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Bryant's super in on the personalized blood flow restriction. It's crazy to listen to. I think for arms, it's 50% in the arms.
So yeah.
He might have 50% of his, that's kind of mind blowing. Bryant thinks, she believes in it because, Dr. Bryant, excuse me, because it allows them to hit their load threshold earlier. So like you just said, you can get to like your highest thing without actually going for it.
Well, yeah, because you're essentially starting out in that state, like on your first rep. Whereas normally, like you would have had to deprive, like you would have had to use up oxygen within the blood, or you know, use some steroids.
Are you steroids? Which I don't think any of our players are doing. I really hope not.
So, would you say? Charles, do you think this is more or less effective than cupping therapy?
I would say more effective than cupping therapy.
I would say super more effective than cupping therapy. I don't get why people still believe in it.
I think cupping therapy is strictly a for the gram exercise.
I mean, Westbrook does it. Paul George did it while he was in OKC.
For the gram.
All right.
No, I think it's kind of a, I think it's
a pseudoscience.
It's an elevated placebo effect.
It's a pseudoscience.
Where it feels weird. There's a visual...
You get those weird bruises?
Yeah, like there's a visual aspect to it, so your brain is like, oh, this must be working because my body's, I'm watching
have
it
all
change.
These hickeys, so it's definitely yeah. fixed.
From a jar. yeah, no, so we are definitely on the no cupping compared to this method. So it's possible, so like that's maybe what Paul George is doing right now, is this initial, like, you know, cut off the circulation. Maybe do some of that stuff.
And I think that that gives some very good insight as to why we're not seeing any sort of real training vids or progress vids. Because it's, you know, it's happening, A, in a weird way, because they're like, they got to cut off circulation, like, to the shoulder. And, I mean, you probably got to have a whole apparatus on for that.
It's just a bunch of rubber bands.
And it's just not as impressive to watch somebody doing, like, resistance bands.
Yeah, doing tiny little arm circles. Yeah, yes. We don't want to see that. But
or in a pool, just, like, gritting it out.
Yeah. Like, can you believe he's at 50% oxygenated blood in his shoulder? So,
and you can't really explain that in a Twitter post.
No, it does not look good. So that's maybe what he's doing right now. And then after this stage, it gets into the, like, this opened up my brain into the, oh, God, this is why injuries are so difficult to come back from. Because after they do this, after you get full range of motion, they basically start with, like, if it's your leg, it's a lateral lunge. And then you progress to a hop, and then you go into the lateral hop repetition. Then you go to the court to do lateral movements. Then you do change of direction. Then high-speed change of direction. Then one-on-run drills where you have the athlete on offense first. And you just go step by step by step. So PG is going to be doing that with his shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is all well and good. It's like, I mean, it's more than I probably needed to know about this. But it is good that it's so regimented and they do have these goalposts. It's not just like, I mean, I think myself and maybe a lot of people listening, when I think of an injury happening or I think of rehabilitation, yes, we know that there is like a workup and stuff like that. But it seems like, okay, you're hurt. And now you're playing basketball again.
For sure.
It's like, and it seems like the steps are less gradual. Like you're, you know, like you're able to regain some movement, and then ideally you're just
back at full speed.
Yeah, and then ideally you're like in limited team drills, and then at full strength. But it's interesting to know that there's kind of more scientific goalposts that they've figured out. I think the thing I took away the most from this is just how damn good this process has gotten.
Dude, it's incredible.
This part of the game, the recovery part, is arguably even more important than training initially, because, you know, like everybody trains.
Everyone's so specialized now. It's that thing of like, you know, like one loose piece of dust ruins the whole Ferrari engine.
Is that true?
I mean, as far as the saying goes.
I mean, that's what happened to my Ferrari. That's why I take the bus, guys.
But yeah, it's that thing. Like, they're so specialized at one thing. It's like, dude, I can't. I need to get back to fully 100%. I can't, like, play with this tweaked thing anymore.
Yeah, for sure.
The way they track stuff is really insane. She outlines some stuff in here. Connection, which is C-O-N-N-E-X-O-N, because you know it's spelled super extreme. It's a GPS unit you put on the player's shorts that you can monitor change of direction, acceleration and decel, and vertical displacement. The coolest one is the inertial measurement units.
Inertial or initial?
Inertial.
Okay.
It's even more scientific. You can put on the player's shins, and it can measure, it can, like, and this is for, like, stress fractures and, like, bone loads and stuff.
Bone loads.
Classic bone loads. You can tell how many displacements are on that specific area and if there's any asymmetries during practice or their workout.
So what does all this mean?
You can just track how hard the shoulder's working, if it's working too hard or, you know, if it's fine type thing.
Right.
And they're going to monitor his progress all season, preseason, mid-season assessments. That's where I think it goes into the regiment stuff, because I feel like back in the day it was like, all right, get back out there. We'll revisit it when you crumple on the heap and when you crumple on the floor in a heap. But it was cool. Dr. Bryant, very psyched on her being the team doctor, seems to have... a fantastic knowledge, why wouldn't she, about this oxygenated therapy. Why are you so conservative about Paul George's
comment? I just think it's going to take longer. I mean, one thing they lay out in this article that's kind of interesting is just like the definition. We touched on this a little bit about like what a full rehabilitation is. And it doesn't just mean that you're back, like that you're, mm-hmm. you know, ready to play or whatever. It's like your range of motion is like fully been extended.
Paul George is back.
Yeah, yeah. And you're able to, you know, play, obviously, without pain, which I think mm-hmm. is something, this is off topic, but which I think is something that is screwed up about like the whole Kawhi thing back in San Antonio. And it makes sense that he would have issues with a training staff that was trying to get him to return when he didn't have his full range of motion and he was still playing through a lot of pain.
Yeah, he's like, no, I hurt, so I don't want to play anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that sometimes as fans, and I'm definitely guilty of it, we can get down on players like, oh, you're not going to play through X or Y, but mm-hmm. like, you got to think about the longevity of your career, and I think especially with Paul George's at and what he hopes to do this season, I don't know that we see him back in the month of November.
That's kind of actually what I was feeling after I read this article, too. I was like, there has been a lot of news. This is a process. And because of how the roster is constructed, too, we don't. It's like that's this kind of luxury and a curse of not having to rush him back. Because I think we might be in store for a lot of like.
You think that we'll be in store for more growing pains come December or whenever he does make his return?
Growing pains come December and the like. You know, news, it looks like he's looking good in practice, so it could be this day or something like that, because as we've talked about, NBA injury reports are
I'd prefer to get fiction? No updates than yes. to the like, oh, he looks pretty good, could be any day now.
Yeah, I don't want the probable tag.
Yeah.
I don't want any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, fantastic article, some good insight on there. Let us know when you think Paul George is coming back. I think your conservatism makes total sense given this situation. It's a tale, like he got a major ass surgery.
Yeah, and on both shoulders. Like, yeah.
Take your time, Paul.
Yeah. There's no rush.
No cupping.
No cupping.
We're very anti-cupping. Coming up after this, we're doing a Zubat's theme, What Could Have Been Wednesday. But first, Will, I want some food, but you know my car's broke down. The bus drivers are on strike. How can I get some food?
Eat your friends.
Eat my friends? I mean, I might. But if not, I'm going to check out Postmates. Postmates is the largest on-demand network in the U.S. They offer delivery from all the restaurants, grocery, and convenience stores and traditional retailers you could possibly want. Get a shirt, get a hoagie, why not? For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON, all capital letters, one word. So welcome to What Could Have Been Wednesdays.
Hey, we're here in the Arrow universe.
It's spooky because we don't know what could have happened. If you ever have a topic you'd like submitted to What Could Have Been Wednesday, tweet it at us at Will Updike, at Charles Michler, at Locked On Clips, or at shavings.podcast@gmail.com.
Or you just yell it into the void.
We might hear. We got our ears to the ground. We got our ears in the air. They're everywhere. So what could have been had we not had Zubat's hurled into our laps.
Mm-hmm.
This was such for famously, some people might not know this. The Lakers called Jerry West during a very nice dinner he was having and offered Zubats for Mike Muscala out of absolutely nowhere. Jerry West said yes, the table had a laugh, and now the Lakers have Dwight Howard. But what if this didn't happen? It was such a random occurrence that I thought the chances of it happening are almost the same as it not happening, especially after they've said that they like, oh, we wish we had this young center, we didn't have to sign Dwight. Bunch of questions here. Do we keep Gortat? Are our free agent targets different? And do we get to the playoffs?
All interesting.
Wish I could have been at that dinner.
Yeah.
To see Jerry's face.
I think this was in Palm Springs.
Ooh, maybe. Or Musso and Frank's in Hollywood. Because I feel like Jerry West might have a table there.
That's very true. Okay, so let's go piece by piece for this. Do we keep Gortat? No.
Think he's still waived?
I think he's still waived. I think that we either roll with Mighty Mike Muscala.
Oh, man. That's the Arrow universe right there.
Or, I don't know. I think we might. See, the issue with the whole thing is the Wilson Chandler injury to me. Because mm-hmm. I think
good call.
I think that you could quick flip both of those guys plus maybe something for another center. or use him as a backup small five. And move, maybe just have Trez play a heavier load of minutes. But I don't think we keep Gortat. That's for sure.
It almost felt like a breaking point by the time he was gone.
Yes. I mean, he had just, I don't know. I think that he just reached a point in his physical abilities as a person.
Yeah.
That just kind of maybe isn't up to rotation level standard in the current NBA.
You would be a very diplomatic coach when it came to cut day.
So who does fill that position if we don't keep Gortat? I do think that we try to either just roll with Mike Muscala, or maybe we pick up somebody else. Do we get to the playoffs? Why don't you read the stats?
Yeah, so there's a fantastic stat from Fly By Night, Justin Russo on Twitter. After the trade, with Ivica Zubac on the floor, the Clippers had a defensive rebound rate of 78%. When he was off the floor, it was only 70%. Teams averaged 47.8 points per 100 with Zubac on, but it was 50.8 without him. So he did, you know, obviously these aren't tell-all stats, but he did help shore up our interior defense during, specifically, the regular season.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if we had Muscala out there as a starting center. You know, there was this allure of how he was somehow a stretch. I mean, that's why the Lakers wanted him or whatever. I don't think we see him firing up a bunch of threes. I think our three-point percentage was, you know, we had those razor-thin margins, I think, for a reason. It was designed to be efficient.
Yeah.
So I don't think we were going to be, like, kicking it out to Muscala on the perimeter.
Yeah, so here's what I think. I think we get to the playoffs. I think that if we were going to make the playoffs with Gortat getting minutes, we were going to make the playoffs without him getting minutes.
Yeah.
I think that we might have actually gotten a little bit more creative early on with maybe popping Jamichael in at the five role in that starting lineup, keeping Trez on the bench for the obviously Lou Will and Trez pick and roll combo, as well as just the comfortability of that squad.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that we're better off. Obviously, I'm a fan of Zoo. I'm really excited to see what you can do this year.
Yeah, team's
but
high on
I still think that we get to the playoffs. I got to be honest. I don't think that it changes our free agent aspirations as much as we might think.
Like we're not switching out Vucevic for Kawhi.
Yeah, or George.
Yeah. Like they're not going to be like, Kawhi's not going to get another star, and we're like, we're bringing in Vooch, baby. Then he's like, wait, what?
I don't think that it changes it that much. I don't think that it really changes it at all. The thing is that, you know, they're well aware, I'm sure, of the guys out there, and I'm pretty sure they were well aware that if Zoo didn't work out, or in the situation where we don't get him at all, they did know that most likely Noah would be available in the offseason. They
for
did
sure.
know that Dwight Howard or some other guys would be around in the NBA. It is kind of funny, and I'm definitely guilty of it on this podcast, of like maybe overanalyzing fives when, like, really, I mean, I gotta be honest, man, in like most playoff series, the five is not the game changer. The five is not like the game tipper,
unless it's literally Embiid. I feel like.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's literally like a transcendent talent. But yeah, like.
And I'm not counting Jokic in this either, because that, like.
He's 0.5.
Calling
he's
him like a five, I think, is really silly. Yeah. That's really silly to me.
And it's like the AD thing. He's, I guess, a four or something like that. But then in the playoffs, he'll play the five. And it's like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, play the position you don't usually play. But yeah, it's pretty crazy to think about. I think it's way better for Zoo. In terms of his career.
Oh, 100%. Like, 100%.
The what if, the worst part of this is actually in terms of his career.
That's a good call. Yeah,
because then he's maybe still not on the Lakers if they were offering him for a stretch five.
I don't think he's still on the Lakers.
You know?
And I don't know where that puts him, but I think that...
They would have traded for like Alex Len or something like that.
Yeah. I think barring to me, in my eyes at least, and this is not from looking at stats, this is purely eye test, Zoo's stock to me raised throughout the season, and I do think that, like, I am definitely a recency bias kind of guy, so like the playoffs really did kind of tank my opinions of him
for sure.
But I would say overall, You know, like he looked a lot better in the time that he was on the Clippers, and he seemed to be making improvements despite injuries.
Yeah, and it's absolutely that, you know, and Gortat, in terms of the eye test, was the opposite.
Yes.
Gortat, in terms of the eye test, you were like, no, none of this is working. This
doesn't work. You don't even have to look at the stats.
Yeah, this doesn't work in any way. It's not. Shea made him dunk a couple times last year with some oopsie through. Like, you're a big man. You should throw it down. Yeah, shout out Zoo. Super excited for his year this year. For a guy who, he weirdly somehow flies under the radar, but also I feel like gets a lot of attention, if that makes sense.
Okay.
I don't, but like, because he's not one of our pillars on the team. You know what I mean? He's not, there's three or four guys ahead of him in terms of, I feel like, what people think of when they think of, like, who's on the Clippers right now. But he's such a key piece in that starting role. I like what you said about maybe experimenting more with the lineups. I think we would have seen a lot more meatball lineup if we didn't get Zoo, which, everyone would have welcomed that. Oh, man. Coming up after this, we got some, we're just digging into that junk drawer.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing what comes out.
All shavings, baby.
With some shavings.
All right, so.
That was bad Foley artist.
That was all right. So Iso Joe has worked out, hasn't worked out, is working out, isn't working out with the Clippers. What's going on there?
That kind of came out of nowhere. So Tomer Azarli, fantastic reporter for Clutch Points, had a quote.
Shout out Tomer.
Shout out Tomer. Had a quote.
We saw you at Dave's Hot Chicken. Oh, on God. that
dude,
Farbod store.
Farbod harassed that man. I'm surprised that I thought Tomer was going to throw a sandwich at him. Iso Joe had an interesting quote that his workout with the Clippers was coming soon. He said it's coming soon. He's looking forward to it. It was kind of already reported initially that I feel like it had already happened.
Yeah, in the way that it was stated, I kind of thought that it had too, but it makes sense. I mean, everybody's chilling right now.
Dude, everyone's hanging out. The man had to prepare for the big three.
They're not I don't think they're flying him out to Miami to work out with everybody, are they?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't think so either.
That would be tight if you're Joe Johnson, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that I guess we can assume it might happen sometime next week. I don't know, but Joe said it's happening. Team hasn't said anything, but that's not really a shock, I feel like. Where are we at on Iso Joe? Someone asked us for the stream yesterday if we would prefer Patrick Patterson or Iso Joe, and I actually didn't put it on the thing because we just already have Patrick Patterson, so I feel like it's moot. But Iso fine as the 15th guy?
Yeah, fine as the 15th guy. I like Joe Johnson. I'd be interested to see how he would fit in.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if that lineup, if he played in lineups with Lou and Shamet, and then maybe Mo Harkless to shore up the defense and Montrez. I don't know. Like I like the idea of it a lot. In actuality, I'm not sure I fully see the fit.
I mean,
is that where you're at?
We've used the phrase before. There's no needle movement.
Yes.
Which I know is kind of expected with the last spot on a team that's this deep because we're thinking about the last spot in relation to the rest of the team, which is hard for that last spot because the rest of the team's pretty short up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it just goes back. It's like Noah seems like he'd be a great fit.
That one makes a lot more sense to me. But it seems like all the talk is boiled down to two guys. And I'm saying no to Iso Joe. I'm saying no to Iguodala. There's only one man that can save us right now.
Who's that?
The professor from And One Mixtapes.
Bro, we get him a couple.
He's in LA, I bet.
If we get him a couple bandanas that are Clippers colors, he'll play for bandanas, dude. If you give that man Carolina blue bandanas, those shirts that Hot Sauce used to wear that were all cut up.
Yep.
And
very large thousands NBA shorts.
And of course they're all white. And then, you know, some weird brand of shoe that we don't even know about. And he's like, no, I really like it because it helps with that move where I kick the ball off the guy's face. So let us know if you think we should keep the professor from the 15th spot. I'm down. What's his real name? Steve Jenkins or something like that?
Probably.
Like Tommy Two-Tone? Shout out the professor. There's a great Trez workout video that was released from the Rico Hines collection, as I call it now. He was working out with a bunch of Lakers players at Lakers facilities. Some people, this rubbed them the wrong way. This doesn't mean shit, right? Big deal? No? No big deal?
This doesn't mean anything to me.
I like that he's working out with the league. He's working out with CP3, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you're trying to work out with the best guys you can work out with.
For sure. And I think it's a detriment if you're like, I'm not working out with anyone from that team. It's like, why?
Yeah.
That team's better than your team, maybe. Not in this case, obviously. But like, if you play for the Hornets.
Yeah.
You know. And the rivalry, I think, is funny because I don't think players... Rivalries are so different now. It's mm-hmm. not like back in the day when like players would literally be like, I will die for this team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nowadays, everyone knows each other. Like, the only way...
Yeah, there's no like, there's no separation, really.
Yeah. There's, you know, Draymond and whatever, and Tristan Thompson, whoever got into a fist fight at that club at the beginning of the offseason. I'm sure they're still friends. It's like...
For sure.
The only time rivalry happened, I think, when there's... You know, maybe a vibe that someone was injured deliberately or a play was dirty or something like that.
I mean, I think that the intensity's definitely ratcheted up in actual the season and postseason for sure. But yeah, this isn't an issue to me. This is like, I'm having trouble even drawing a comparison because I wouldn't really go meet with a coworker from another company. But that's what I would equate it to. Like,
for sure.
If I was to like get drinks with somebody from another company or let's say another podcast.
Yeah. We've eaten dinner with Anthony Irwin before.
Yeah.
Host of the Locked On Lakers. It was fantastic.
Yeah. I hung out with a host of a Lakers podcast yesterday.
Yeah, we know him. I don't think it's that big a deal. It was really funny and kind of weird to see him getting pick and roll passes from Chris Paul.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, wow, what a weird alternate universe when you both could have been on the same team twice.
good call.
Like, it's super weird. Love to see those workout vids from Trez. He was seemed like he was going through some stuff on social media a little earlier in the month.
I think he has some dark times in the summer.
Yes, which, hey, who doesn't?
You know, moods can be seasonal. They can be completely unprompted. The human brain is a mystery.
Welcome to Locked On Human Brain. Guys, thanks. You got anything else in that shavings drawer?
Nah, I'm emptied.
Oh, man. We hope there's some good news tomorrow for you guys. We're going to have a Thirsty Thursdays.
Yep.
Talking about what we want to see more of. Thank you for reviewing us. Thank you for rating us. Check us out on iTunes. Check us out on Stitcher. That's one we haven't given a shout out to.
Stitcher, what up?
Deezer.
Spotify.
Spotify. Check out
Spotify, which is like just a weed-based podcast.
Yeah, but they all love the Clippers, so you know how that goes. Also, check out Mike Jaglin's new podcast for SB Nation.
What's up? Got MJ's 24? I can't remember.
I believe so. Got a great interview with Brian Seaman, the one and only on there. We'll have a new episode for you guys tomorrow. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks so much for listening.